Nobody really want Fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Why you some coffee and Lego? Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mato. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no Wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chains they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother,
you don't want that fuego.
Hey,
fuego.
Fuego.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, the Lost 144K, Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. I'm Captain Yashua.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Most High Christ, blessed.
All right, real quick before we, because we've been forgetting to do this, you can call in on this show, you can. The number is 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. And just be patient and bear with us. I know sometimes I'll see a call there and you're in the queue. And, you know, we'll definitely get to you. If you got any questions or comments on the topic at hand, all right, please don't use this as the platform to try to take the somewhere else outside of. You want to do that, you can email the show page if there's things you want to discuss or what have you. Or debate, as some people like to call and do. Maybe we'll address it on one of the shows. You know, right? You give us topic ideas or something. But as far as calling in, let's keep it relevant. Whether it's comments or questions specific to the topic of the day, that would be ideal. We were off the air last week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The last show we had all that technical difficulty, like it was disastrous. So, but we did wind up on the page at the Lost 144K on Facebook. We were able to put up the video, like we do record it, so it wasn't live, but we were able to put up the video of what the topic was. So it was up there. And today, you know, it almost escaped me. Monday's Columbus Day again. And we're going to talk about that for sure. I've been thinking, like, okay, it's good. We got to discuss these holidays like every year, right? So there's a holiday coming up. We can't forget to like address it.
Right.
But I'm gonna address it from a different perspective, right? Because and I'm gonna read about Columbus Day in a minute. And you know, there's some states that don't celebrate it. Like New Mexico is one of them. Hawaii doesn't. And instead, they celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day on that day. Right. You know, which is a shift, right? It's cool. It's not biblically based, but it's a shift in the right direction rather than honor this murderer. So I want to theme my show, and I'm going to use Columbus Day as a day to create awareness of the tribes of Israel that were on this side of the world.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about how Columbus came with Hebrew translators. We'll talk about Arsareth and all that stuff like that. So rather than it just be, I mean, we should talk about the murderer that he was. So by all means, brothers, if you will bring up scriptures in regards to that stuff, feel free. But I'm not going to rant for an hour about how evil this guy was. I'm going to take that opportunity to talk about some historical perspective and bring awareness to what he knew and what many of our people don't. Because the farce is that he came to this side of the world looking for a route to the Far East, mm-hmm. a faster route to the Far East. And we know that not to be true.
Right.
right? We know that not to be true. So I want to go ahead and post some links while I do this. If you guys want to bring anything out while I do that, go right ahead. Actually, before I do that, I will do this. I do want to read real quickly about Columbus Day, right? So it says, Columbus Day is a national holiday in many countries. This is from Wikipedia, of the Americas. And elsewhere, which officially celebrates the anniversary of Christopher Columbus's arrival in the Americas on October 12, 1492. Christopher Columbus was an Italian explorer who set sail across the Atlantic Ocean. Now it says here, in search of a faster route to the Far East, only to land at the New World. So, I mean, if you go with this narrative, he was grossly incompetent. He was a poor navigator.
Right. Right.
And he stumbled upon this place by accident. Again, we know this not to be true. He did this with great intent. He was very diabolical and malicious in his thinking. And, you know, as such is the case, the victor, the one in power, usually the history is his story, right? So they're going to proffer this guy up and you know, say that he was great. I would say he set sail across the Atlantic Ocean in search of the lost tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
His first voyage to the New World on the Spanish ship Santa Maria Niña en La Pinta took approximately 3 months. Columbus and his crew's arrival to the New World initiated the Columbian Exchange, and I'm going to read what that is in a moment, which introduced the transfer of plants, animals, culture, let's see if you brothers catch this, human populations and technology, but also invasive species, including communicable diseases between the New World and the Old. So they fancied this thing up. They say it introduced the transfer, not I took, not we brought stuff over with us. They introduced the transfer of plants, animals, culture, their murderous culture, sure.
Right.
Human populations, they calling the slavery and the genocide of the indigenous people on this side of the world, which were our forefathers, all right, the Israelites, they call it the transfer of human populations.
Wow.
Talk about the new narrative. Yeah, right, because they were trying to say they calling slavery the Great Migration.
Mm-hmm.
If I was pushing that agenda, I would call it the transfer of human populations. I think it's amazing. I'm actually pretty impressed. Because most people will glaze right over that thing.
Oh, absolutely.
That means slavery. That means slavery. The transfer of human populations. It means slavery and invasion. Because they brought their people over here in mass,
right.
Invading. Right? So it means slavery and invasion. So, and it says, and technology. But then it says, but also invasive species, including communicable diseases. And communicable is very broad. It could be airborne. It could be by touch. It could be the nasty STDs they had and they brought as they raped and pillaged our women and boys.
Yep.
Because they went to all those nasty things. Okay. So that's Columbus Day in a nutshell. And I find it interesting that they speak about it that way. And real quick, I wanted to mention there's a non-observance movement, right? So it says it began to decline at the end of the 20th century, the celebration of Columbus Day. Although many Italian Americans and others continue to champion it. The states of Florida, Hawaii, Alaska, Vermont, South Dakota, New Mexico, and Maine do not recognize it and have each replaced it with celebrations of Indigenous Peoples Day. In Hawaii, Discoverer's Day, and South Dakota, Native American Day. A lack of recognition or reduced level of observance for Columbus Day is not always due to concerns about honoring Native Americans. For example, a community of predominantly Scandinavian descent may observe Leif Erikson Day instead. In the state of Oregon, Columbus Day is not an official holiday. Iowa and Nevada do not celebrate Columbus Day as an official holiday, but the state's respective governors are authorized and requested by statutes to proclaim the day each year. So they're forced to. They're forced to. They have to make a proclamation of it. Several states have removed the day as a paid holiday for state government workers while still maintaining it, either as a day of recognition or as a legal holiday for other purposes, including California and Texas. U.S. cities that officially eschew Columbus Day to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day began with Berkeley, California in 1992, and as of 2018 include Austin, Boise, Cincinnati, Denver, Los Angeles, Mankato, Minnesota, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Seattle, St. Paul, Minnesota, Tacoma, and dozens of others. Columbus, Ohio has chosen to honor veterans instead of Christopher Columbus and remove Columbus Day as a city holiday. Various tribal governments in Oklahoma designate the day as Native American Day or name it as their own tribe. So that's what's up with Columbus Day. I'm going to post some links if you guys want to comment on any of that stuff.
No, there was so much said. You could take a reason. But give me Romans 13, verse 11 first. I'm going to start there. And you're going to see why exactly I'm starting there. And, you know, I was kind of curious as to why my wife had Monday off. I mean, ours is it's just a new moon Sunday night. So,
mm-hmm.
But I completely forgot that we're in that time of year where
I forgot about Christmas, it too, bro.
Freaking wicked holidays.
But you know what? What's interesting is that we shouldn't forget.
No, absolutely.
We should always be aware of their wicked holidays because we not in the way that we used to where we were like, ooh.
You're right, you're right.
But so that we can bring awareness, like I said, to the proper understanding of this.
It used to be anything for a day off and a barbecue. Now it's, like you said, to bring awareness to our people that they come out of that foolishness.
Right.
Read that one.
The book of Romans, chapter 13, and verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time.
So we must understand the times that we're living in, and understand that this Bible is truly the book of life. Any questions that you have about life can be answered with the scriptures, and it's still relevant for today's time. That's why when we go into it to pull out these scriptures to go into Christopher Columbus and his evil ways and the things that he did and the atrocities to the 10 tribes of Israel that were inside of the earth, we have to understand, especially now in the era that we live in, where there's so much technology and information out there that we can't be so ignorant no more to just blindly turn our backs. Read again.
And knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep.
It's high time that we wake up out of sleep, out of the spiritual sleep that we've been in for hundreds of years, and we have to stop letting these gifts destroy our hearts, right? Stop letting the oppression that was done to us just run so smoothly down our backs. Well, that was forever ago. No. We're still suffering from those conditions today. Read on.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe.
So we have to understand that the time is very short, all right? Whether you believe it or not, Christ will return and he will establish his kingdom here on earth.
That's right.
And the things that were done to us as a people, although they're justified because it was because of our own sin that caused those things to come upon us, it doesn't mean that Esau, who the world so ignorantly calls the white man, is not going to pay for the things that he did to us as a people. And same with Christopher Columbus. I'm telling you, there's a special, special place for him in hell. I guarantee it for the things that he did to our people.
Right, right. Well, what's going to be hell for them?
Right, exactly.
Right? I mean, I know what you're saying, but the special place in hell is there's going to be a special place in the kingdom for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because people say we're not inclusive. There will be a special place for Christopher Columbus in the kingdom.
Oh yeah, for sure.
There will be a very special place.
You guys with me? You don't?
No, I was thinking about something, but I'm trying to read it back.
Okay, well then, real quick, give me Obadiah verse 5, real quick.
Ooh, Obadiah.
Yeah, let me test that real quick.
Bring it out.
Because so many scriptures were running through my head as you're saying the things that you were saying and the craftiness of how they wrote the article. But
the transfer of human populations.
The transfer of human populations. That's
crazy.
But read that. Verse 5.
The book of Obadiah. Verse 5. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough?
So when you start at verse 1, this is a vision that was given to the prophet Obadiah about the nation of Edom. All right? Again, that's the Caucasian race today. But one of these characteristics is telling you that a typical thief, he would come and he would steal until he had enough. But the characteristic of this man is very different. Read on.
If the great gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes?
So a typical thief would take until he had enough and then leave the rest and gather. Read on.
How are the things of Esau searched out? how are the hidden things sought up?
So he's letting you know that Esau, his characteristic is he steals until there's nothing left. He doesn't just take the fruit from the tree. He takes the leaves. He takes the branches. He takes the trunk. He takes the roots. He takes the soil that it was on. And that's the same thing that they did when they came to the side of the earth, knowing that the Israelites had got the inheritance from the Most High on this side of the earth. Listen, as like I'm driving from California back here, or even when I'm driving to California for the Feast of Tabernacles, I was blown away by some of the scenery. I'm like, man, this is beautiful. But then you guys amplify that by like times a million of how beautiful it was originally before they came over here and destroyed everything.
Right.
So they understood that the 10 tribes of Israel, this landmass was their inheritance. And it wasn't going to be just some little dusty hole in the wall type thing for us to live in. It was a beautiful paradise.
Right. I remember when I did the show, I don't know. I mean, I think the show's been on the air like almost 2 years now, maybe about 2 years. When I was going over the American Holocaust and when you were reading about how amazed they were
right.
about what they right. saw here and the level of infrastructure and the things that we had was, you know, they have you paint this picture that we were, you know, wearing loincloths mm-hmm. and just living in tents and that was the end of it. Yeah, we understood how to do that stuff. Well, what they failed to tell you is that the people they found, those were hunting parties that were out there hunting, and that's why they were living in tents. We had cities. We built pyramids, like just like right. we did in Egypt. We had infrastructure. We had marketplaces. They said the cleanliness, the order, and the mm-hmm. structure that we had was far beyond anything they had in Europe at the time.
Right, absolutely. You understand, too, that Esau knows the scriptures. That's what our people fail to realize, is that they know this Bible.
Yes, they do.
And
so, not your common, your friend Bill from work.
No,
you know
right,
what
right,
I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
Like
the powers that mm-hmm. know these scriptures, and they know, okay, the 10 tribes of Israel got their inheritance on that side of the earth. So they knew that it was going to be something beautiful because the scripture says, as long as we keep the commandments, then we'll be put on high. So we came to this side of the earth to a freaking metropolis. That's what that book said, remember?
Right.
It was a metropolis. And they were so blown away by it that they burned down their own ships. That way they couldn't return back home. Mm-hmm. That way they could keep pushing into the land. Oh,
right. Hey, Brother Donald here, he brings out a good point. The other thing that they teach you, it was primarily what they would call the 10 lost tribes. But, yeah, they were elements. I mean, he says blacks, but there was some southern kingdom here as well.
Oh,
there was. Just like there was some northern kingdom, there was a remnant that stayed behind.
Mm-hmm.
There was a remnant that came over here as well. So, you know, don't get it twisted and think it was just – that goes into a lot when I talk about we got to stop going by the modern iteration of the tribes sometimes when we think of it, meaning the stereotypical – you think northern kingdom and you automatically assume – you know, most people wind up forgetting about Native Americans in that, like
right.
I know most
yeah.
us, and you think you're only Spanish-speaking
right.
brothers and sisters. You know, I mean, look at the Olmec statues and things like that
mm-hmm.
you see. You have the Garufanas as well, and they show you they were very dark. They were very. We're thinking of all of us who are light-skinned today. You're thinking of your typical Mexicans and, you know, Puerto Ricans and
right.
what have you. And you got to kind of get that out your head and realize that, like, Israel was a speckled bird. And
took the words right out on
and, you know, and let's get that real quick so people understand that. The Most High says, my heritage is like a speckled bird. And if you look up speckled bird, there's lots of shades of colors and different things in there, right? Is it in Zechariah?
No, it's Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. It's one of the Mayas.
It's Jeremiah 12, verse 9.
There we go. That's
my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour.
Right. So, and it's letting you know, this is an analogy here. And why would he say a speckled bird, right? He's not just comparing Israel to a bird. He said there's other birds round about her that are against her. So he's letting you know that you may see these other birds that are confederate against this speckled bird. The speckled
mm-hmm.
bird meaning that we come in all different shades, variations, all right, even confusion, right? Speckled birds, technically, when you read about speckled birds, they talk about they're hard to classify sometimes or whatever, so because they come from, oh gosh, what do they call it? I forgot the scientific term, but the way they classify birds, right? But he's letting you know here, listen, the other birds round about her, meaning the other nations, are all against her, and Israel's going to be manifested in different ways. He's like a speckled bird, meaning scattered everywhere, mixed among the people everywhere. Mm-hmm. But understand that all these other birds, all these other nations are against her, are against her. I want to talk a little bit about this article I got here, right? We'll focus on Columbus, and we should be able to have time. I have two, because there's a follow-up. They posted this in the Miami Herald of the trip to Puerto Rico we did a couple years ago, and the professor, the archaeology professor that we met down there, and, you know, we have the documentary out, and it's a I believe he has his doctorate, but but I'll say Professor Reniel Rodriguez Ramos. It's funny, I was reading the scripture where it talks about the Ephraimites couldn't pronounce certain words
right.
in Hebrew. And I'm like, that's spiritual, because today, like, Ephraim Spanish be like, oh, sometimes, right? Anyway, so we actually met with this brother back then, and he was telling us how the hardest thing for him has been. He found and excavated some stones, and he gave us the history of the stones. And if you watch the Puerto Rico documentary on the IOIC YouTube page, we sat down and we questioned him, and we went through this stuff. And, you know, he stopped just short of saying that you know, it was the tribes of Israel, but he said that the writing looked Hebrew, all this, that, and the other. And he said that his challenge through the years has been that he's never been able to find any scholars, right, people of note in the archaeological community to boldly go on record and say that, yes, that's Hebrew writing, right? He said, you know, I think even in the video that we did with him, he said it would upset everything that we know about the migratory patterns and what happened and all this other stuff like that.
It would begin the process of turning things right side.
Yeah. And he was hip to it, and I understood he had his academic background and his career to consider. So, you know, he didn't want to be so bold to go on, but, you know, you could tell by the body language and everything where he was headed.
Right.
And I think the only reason he was hesitant to say, you know, unequivocally that it was, you know, they always put adding words in there to kind of say, okay, well, you know, don't take it out of context. I didn't say definitively it was this. I said this, that, and the other. Because he said he couldn't find anybody that would necessarily validate that. And then, you know, so the article we're going to read later talks about how it's an update on that. And it's saying that they're now saying that, yeah, like it was, there were Jews here. There were Jews in Puerto Rico.
Hey, you know what's funny? One of my doctors at the VA, he's actually from Puerto Rico. So him and I were having a conversation. It was about 6 months ago. And I was letting him know about the pyramid that they found there and about the Hebrew stones. And he was like, there's no such thing as those things that exist in Puerto Rico. And I'm like, no, there is. We were just recently there. No, I've been all over Puerto Rico, like every inch of it, and I've never seen anything as far as Jews or Hebrew. Like,
who said this now?
My doctor at the VA.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, I don't know where you're getting your information from.
Save this and send it to him.
No, right, exactly. Exactly. He was like, no. He's like, I don't know what your source is. I was like, I was there in person. Like,
right.
I was physically there. No.
You know what's crazy about that is that all this information that you're talking about as far as these things being revealed and how the brother that you guys are dealing with in Puerto Rico, how he was coming to the understanding that, hey, look, this is Hebrew, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of him, of those things being revealed, it's like his reality is being changed in his mind. And it's almost like a fear,
no,
of your reality being changed right before your eyes, as you've been lying to you.
I always tell people that the hardest thing you'll ever hear is everything you've known to be true was a lie. That's like some really, like everything that you have grown up knowing and believing wholeheartedly in is now a lie.
Well, I think a lot of times, I understand the sentiment behind that, because when you're talking about a lifetime of lies, it's you identify with that, and somehow it's become interwoven into the person that you are today.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's so hard to accept something like that and say, wait a second, everything I've built my foundation on, my whole life on, has been a lie. And then the other piece of it is, it's just that people take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
They take these beliefs as their identity, and I'm talking about these false beliefs. Because the beliefs that we have in the Bible, we understand through the Spirit of Most High Christ, are actually factual. The Bible tells us that's our heritage. So you should take this as your identity if you're a repenting Israelite. But I understand to some extent how others won't, and they'll defend this thing. I mean, you see with politics. I mean, especially today, there's a perfect example of what's happened, you know, ever since Trump got elected. And I'm not going to make this about Trump, but what I always say is I love Trump because he's really kind of brought to light, like, I mean, he's shown how some of the people that you hold closest, what they really thinking.
Yeah, he, right. Yeah, right. He's the mouthpiece for what everyone's thinking anyway.
Right, right. So, you know, it's and the way they defend that as if it identifies them. It's like cats who fight over PlayStation and Xbox.
But you know what?
Or Apple and Android.
Right,
bro. The executives of Apple Inc. and Samsung and Google, they don't give a crap about you, but y'all guys are fighting over which one's better, like you actually own it. And I like that one because it goes to show you how easy psychologically it is to align yourself with something.
Right.
It's funny to me when people fight over that stuff because I'm like, bro, like, it don't matter. Like what substance does it have? You like that? Fine. I mean, I joke about it, but there's some people who really take it to the hole and they'll start defending. Yes. I'm talking about brothers and sisters in Israel. Like, it was coming up when we was at Tabernacles, a little bit joke. And I'm laughing about it, but some brothers ain't joking about that. Oh, that's crap. Oh, that's it. And brothers will fight you tooth and nail over that stuff, right? Some sisters, too. They'll fight you over that thing. But I use that as the example to show you how easy it is for us to it's like instinctive in us to choose a side. There's no neutrality with us.
Right, for sure.
And then you defend it as if it's your identity. So when this truth comes to you and you tell people, this is what I'm saying, it's going to, things like this rewrite history, things like this offend people. Wisdom of Solomon 5, is some of y'all know, that's one of my favorite scriptures, 1 through 5, talks about the astonishment that these other nations are going to see when they realize that everything that they hold base, everybody who they've had in derision, which is us, right, they're going to say, how are these people numbered among the saints of the Most High?
Yep.
So it's an astonishing thing. I want to jump into the article here. This first one I'm going to look at, it's a commentary by Dr. Jihad Falk. All right, this is a site, jbuff.com. It's Jewish Buffalo on the web. So Columbus Day. So some of you might notice it says in 1492 Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And you learned that in school, like, right, to remember, right? And it says, but he added a piece here, and his interpreter was a Jew whose name was Lou, and that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, it is true. Luis de Torres was not the only Jew who sailed with Columbus on the 3rd of August that year. Columbus' navigator and his doctor were also Jews. All three. And two more were Jews who underwent formal conversion to Christianity one day before the voyage began, but were nevertheless viewed as Jews, both by other Jews and by the Spanish Christians who called Jews converted to Christianity marranos, meaning swine. And you read about this in Lost Tribes and Promised Land, right, with Montesinos. And it says Columbus included de Torres because de Torres spoke Hebrew. So I was saying at the outset of the show, they tell you, even look at Wikipedia, he was trying to find a faster route to the Far East. It's not true. It says Columbus evidently believed or wanted to believe that he would meet Hebrew-speaking Jews on reaching the other side of the world. Columbus believed he would find the 10 lost tribes of Israel there and hence thought he would need a Hebrew speaker. It's so, if he was trying to find the Far East, why did he have all these Hebrew-speaking people?
Right, exactly.
It's BS. And then, you know, that they got that clip that we often talk about from 1492, the movie with, was it Gerard Depardieu?
Mm-hmm.
And he plays him. And they have a scene where he's speaking to the priest, and the priest is telling him, oh, you're mad. How do you know? He was like, no, I think there's land no more than such and such miles from the Canary Islands, because at that time, that's all they had. Documented as far as them mapping. And he said, So it gives you insight into that he was seeking not the Far East, but he was seeking a new place. Now, that may have been what he told certain people. That may be the popular lingo. I'm going to tell you something. I don't even think the Spanish king and queen that supported him believe that. History will tell you they funded him because he said, I'm trying to find a way to the Far East so we can dominate the import trade. I think they were in on it too,
right?
I mean, just history don't tell you that stuff. He says in the clip, he was like, how do you know this? Oh, this navigator, that navigator. And he goes, the prophet Ezra. He's like, Ezra's. Ezra was a Jew. He's like, yeah.
Right.
And he goes on to like talk about that. So most people, that part will slip by you because it's one of those talking points in a movie where maybe maybe you took the bathroom break. Maybe you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, you kind of glaze over that. You were going to say something?
Yeah, it was heavy that you said that about the king and queen being in on it too. Because although history doesn't document it, the Bible documents Esau's characteristics and attributes. So because they are covetous,
right,
and because they have that envy, and because they like to conquer, we know that's probably exactly how it went down.
Right, right. So it says, it should be noted that the voyage of Columbus was financed by two Jews. Yeah, more comes out. For example, Luis de Santangelo, Chancellor of the Royal Household of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, and Gabriel Sanchez, Treasurer of Aragon, both conversos, of course. They were converts to Judaism. When de Torres had landed on Hispaniola, he saw a bird which he thought was a peacock and named it Tuki, the Hebrew word for that animal. He would therefore call it Turkey. Today, Hispaniola is divided into French-speaking Haiti and Spanish-speaking Dominican Republic. So Tuki is the Hebrew word for turkey, and he thought it was a peacock. So they had turkeys over there in Hispaniola.
Okay.
So he says, the Torres eventually settled in Cuba and therefore became the first European settler of the New World, except for the Norwegians, who had come to Newfoundland in 1000, only to disappear when their colony was abandoned for unknown reasons. As we have just seen, Columbus believed the legend of the lost 10 tribes. This was believed by many people and is still current, although we know that the 10 tribes dragged into Babylonian captivity migrated all over Asia and left their culture with numerous civilizations on the continent all the way to Japan. So here's where they try to distort things.
Right.
And it's interesting because I'm going to pull up the Jewish encyclopedia to refute that. Right. So, yes, there were different migratory patterns. But see, this is where I got to tell you, you got dumb Jake that tries to say the Hispanic and indigenous tribes are not Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And they say this is where they get that understanding that when it talks about Arsareth, that they just stayed in that same area, a land where never mankind dwelt. It's not even original, the stuff they come out with. They don't realize that because if there's one thing almost all Israel is united in, is that the white man, who the Bible calls Esau, is the devil the Bible speaks of, and they are the chief enemy of our people. So, but yet they'll use white man ideologies to try to, like, divide us amongst ourselves. It's stupid.
Listen, when the scripture says that he's wiser than Daniel, it says it for a reason. So he used our history book to map out exactly where to go conquer, but then he said, leave it to our people, and they say, oh, no, that just means that they stayed in an area where no one ever lived before. Ignorance, bro.
Damage control, I suppose.
Ignorance, pure ignorance.
So it tries to say that they migrated all over the place. So, you know, that basically they weren't over there. And then it talks about Columbus's background. And it says, they say he may have been the grandson of Jews. It says he was born in the Italian city of Genoa. You know, they're trying to make a connection to say he went there with good intentions. They say he wrote in Hebrew and Aramaic. But this is important because it says he would write two small marks on the top of every letter he wrote. These marks resemble the two marks Orthodox Jews still use in their letters. The two abbreviations come from the Hebrew word Besayata Diashamaya, meaning with God's help in Aramaic. So he was. The point is he was very into understanding what the scriptures talk about about our people, and we'll read that in a moment, so you can understand that. I want to read the Arsareth thing first, and then we're going to read 2 Ezra 13. All right. And he says he brought five. Columbus wrote a great deal about Zion, They said he had a lot of writings about Zion. He brought five Jews on his voyage, including his translator, navigator, doctor, surgeon, and astronomer. On the very day that Columbus sailed for the New World, the Jews who had been expelled from Spain sailed from the port of Palos as well. Columbus' diary begins with these words: "In the same month in which their majesties issued the edict that all Jews should be driven out of the kingdom and its territories, in the same month they gave me the order to undertake with sufficient men my expedition of discovery of the Indies." But we know it wasn't discovery of the Indies. It was, mm-hmm, they were seeking, mm-hmm, more Israel, right? Because why? They understood what Judah 5 does, that if our people come to their history, they, right, come to their remembrance, right, and keep the commandments, then they would no longer have their rule. So their intention was always sinister in coming over here, because they figured, hey, they know that we were going to forget who we were.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over there and make sure that we work on trying to exterminate and enslave them, so that they never come back to their history, and then we lose our reign. That's why I said the king and queen were in on it. It wasn't for good things.
Right.
They wanted, because, listen, it tells you here that they were expelling Jews, right? And we know that those were converts and a lot of Edomites that were purporting to be Jews. But they were like, listen, we're throwing them all out, and then we're going to go over there, and we want to exterminate some more, right? And this was probably the real thing behind the scenes that was being done here. And it tells you, look, in the next line, it says, "The expulsion of the Jews from Spain benefited the royal couple immensely, since they seized all of the property and money owned by the Jews. This was exactly the same thing which benefited the Nazis in 1939. This is exactly what Esau did in Obadiah, what we were just reading about to our people back then. They've continued to do this stuff continually, where they take advantage of our plight, and then they rob from us."
That goes into that perpetual hatred they had towards Israel. Because they're not the chosen people. That perpetual hatred just lasts forever. Regardless of how long we are separated from the other nations, they tend to find a way to find us and put us into that subjection and kill us and try to wipe us out.
Yep, exactly. So I want to back up and invalidate what he was saying here, and then we'll read the scriptures where he says, we know that after the Babylonian captivity, we migrated all over Asia. This is true, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, we cannot discount the Assyrian captivity,
right,
and their practices, which was the beginning of kind of creating a displacement of our people, right? So, you know, they would put Assyrians in Samaria and then bring Sumerians, which was northern kingdom, into Assyria to live as Assyrian citizens. And through the process of time, you kind of just live that lifestyle, no longer your culture. And then, of course, if you go to a port, this is what they did with the original. Remember, the original Greeks were black, right?
Right.
And then the Edom came in there, and what we know as the Greeks today is basically Esau, and they took them out, right? I'm not saying the original Greeks were Israelites. I'm just saying they were dark-skinned,
mm-hmm,
all right? And it goes into, like, Japhet and how they were pushed out into the Isles and stuff like that by Esau living by the sword, the prophecy in Genesis, right? So I'm going to read this about Arsareth real quick, and then we're going to get 2 Kings 13. So it says, the Jewish Encyclopedia, all right, so it says, "The name of the land beyond the great river, Arzareth, the name of the land beyond the great river, far away from the habitation of man." That alone should tell you that it's not going to be there in those parts of Asia and all this other stuff where we were dispersed. Are some of our people there? Sure, absolutely, right? But hold on 1 second, I'm sorry. Say something real quick, because I'm going to answer this now.
No, right, it's... going back, that's why I started with Romans 13, right? We have so much information that's just right there, so readily accessible to us, that we can no longer have the excuse of just being ignorant. Because people love to say that, right? Well, I didn't know. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know. Guess what? The Bible says that everyone shall hear, then the end shall be. So whether you hear or whether you forbear, you will know that there has been a prophet among you. So all this information about Columbus and his intentions and everything else, it's crazy how their own people understand that, but then our people use that to try to combat God's knowledge against us. It's
right, right. So it says, "The land of the beyond the great river, far away from the habitation of man, in which the 10 tribes of Israel will dwell, observing the laws of Moses, until the time of the restoration," meaning basically what we're living now, where, mm-hmm, the restoration of our identity, the restoration of our true heritage, right? And he says, according to 4 Ezra, and it says, 4th Esdras 13:45, it says here, but we know it today as 2nd Esdras. But in the original Bible, they before they took out the Apocrypha, that's how Esdras was numbered, right? It was 1 through 4. So it says, Columbus identified America with this land. So we just read this article by this doctor that broke it down, Columbus and the Jews, giving you all the motivations and rationale why he went there and did that. And then now on the JewishEncyclopedia.com, this is what Jewish people will use to talk about their understanding of their history and everything, right? And it says that he identified America with this land. When you read the rest of it, it goes on to talk about, yeah, there are different opinions and so on, but it leads with that. And it says, they forsook the covenant of the Lord and went and served other gods. The Lord rooted them out of their land and cast them into another land as this day. And it goes into different things the way they break it down here, right? So, you know, and then I see some commentary. This page allows commentary. People are like, wow, bring it out. You know, that's some Israelites talking about that. Bring it out. But let's get this a second answer really quick. So we can understand what's being spoken about here, because to some people it might be their first exposure to this understanding. And it amazes me how many times we try to teach Northern Kingdom, and so many brothers and sisters won't go here and deal with this whole aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Because by and large, our history starts with Columbus. There really isn't much documented or much that we know beyond that. Now, Gad will tell you that, yeah, they have their oral traditions, but they don't have a lot of things documented prior to Columbus. And what they do document to you, it sounds like fairy tales with the great tree and the great spirit and this, that, and the other. And then if you don't have an understanding or basis in the scriptures, you'll read that and you'll be like, eh. But what's the book that I have by, I can't remember his name, but it's the one where he relates the customs of the Native Americans to the Hebrews. Right now I'm drawing a blank. What is it?
Destruction of the Reckoning?
No, that's not it. That's not it. No, that still deals with like Spanish-speaking Northern Kingdom. It's something with the Native Americans. I have the book, and I can't even remember it right now.
I had a Gadite tell me that when I was explaining to them that they were God's chosen people, because they like to hear that, you know? Like, they like to hear that they're the power's chosen people. They like to hear that Esau's the devil, the Bible speaks up. Like, they love hearing those things until you bring up the Bible. And then I'm, like, trying to just tell this guy and explain to him, bro, you're God's chosen people. Like you're the greatest thing ever created. And he's like, you know what? I liked it until you came to the Bible. He's like, because I understand that my people come, we were ants in Montana. And I'm like, of all places, why Montana? You know? And you got your ants and you evolved in the people? He's like, yeah. But he told me that this Bible is a fairy tale book. Bug out, man. I'm telling you. Right. Gad's going to come in at 11:59 and 59.
So let's get 2nd Ezra 13, and let's start at verse 40.
The book of 2nd Ezra, chapter 13, verse 40. Those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Osei the king.
Right, so Osei the king is dealing with the Assyrian captivity. Come on.
Whom Salmanazar, the king of Assyria, led away captive. And he carried them over the waters. And so they came into another land.
So he's talking about how during the Assyrian captivity, they were carried over the waters. And this other land that they came into was Nineveh, right? The capital city of Nineveh. They were in Assyria, right? Come on.
But they took this counsel amongst them.
So he's letting you know that through the process of time, right, they were given liberty, right? When Persia came into power, it came on them in the spirit. And he said, hey, if y'all want to be free, I'm going to free you. You can go down and rebuild your holy city, or just you can stay here. You can do whatever you want. I'm giving you free reign. So now they were no longer in captivity. So it's letting you know that from Assyria up until now, they were living in other places. They were already mixing and establishing different doctrines and things among themselves, idolatry, so on and so forth, right? So verse 41.
But they took this counsel amongst themselves, that they will leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a further country where never mankind dwelt.
Now, that side of the world at that time, there were heathen everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they took this counsel among themselves, and you're going to read, and it'll say it. They said, listen, essentially they all got together, right, their elders, and they said, we got to leave the heathen because they were acknowledging what in Judith 5, 20 and 21 brings out, that they were not keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. And this is why they were under captivity. You know, the world rulership was changing, but they were under captivity under each of them up to that point.
Right.
And of course, we know now, today, historically, we continue to be under that. And they said, listen, we got to get away from these heathen. These heathen are a bad influence. I said, and we need to escape this so we can do our own thing, which is the laws of the Bible, right? God's wishes for us. So he says, we're going to go into a further country where never mankind dwelt. Let's go someplace pristine where it has not been tainted by the pollutions of these false gods, this idolatry. Come on.
That they might there keep their statues, which they never kept in their own land.
They said, maybe we just get a fresh start. You know, some people, they go through some stuff. I'm going to move somewhere, just get a fresh start.
Right.
Leave all this behind me, right? So they were like, hey, I'm going to leave all this behind us. And maybe there we can keep God's laws, statutes, and commandments, right? Because we've never been able to keep them here. And then we're always in captivity, right? Come on.
And they enter into the Euphrates by the narrow passages of the river.
So they went into the Euphrates River by the narrow passages of the river. Why? Because we had navigators. We had understanding. We had ships. There was different things that we were able to build. We were not these savage, unintelligent, you know, unable to be able to accomplish anything type of people. That's not the case at all, right? So come on.
For the Most High then showed signs for them and held still the flood. Till they were passed over.
So they sailed through the ocean. The flood is another term for the ocean. Particularly Issachar was very good at the stars, navigating, right? So it tells you, and this is where you get all this stuff with the Mayan calendar and the different things of astronomy. They went south with it, you know, not using it, you know, for the Most High's will, but using it to go into madness with other doctrines. But it says, listen, we're going to get these navigators. And it says, and God held still the flood. Why? Because the ocean's tumultuous, right?
Right.
You have different things that happen there, weather patterns that happen only out over the ocean. And it says that didn't happen to them. He held it still for them because their intentions were good. But more importantly, the Most High wrote this movie. He knows the script.
Right.
And he said, I need them over there. So I can't have a storm come and jack things up. I can't have something. They got to get over there so that I can accomplish what I need to accomplish, right? Come on.
For through that country, there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half. And that same region is called Arsareth.
And I'm telling you, you got all these haters that will take this and they try to dissect Arsareth to try to convince you that it's the side of the world where all countries were named and known. And they go through, they jump through all these hoops, literally taking Esau's doctrines to try to disprove something that the Most High intended. It's comical. It's real plain. You don't got to get through all that, right? What are they saying? The multitude of words, they want if not sin.
Right.
And the sin is hatred for their brothers and sisters in this war. And it says, for through that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half. They did it by water, and it was a year and a half. And they try to tell you, well, look, if they go up this way and come to go to Asia through this side, why would they even do all that? Just doesn't, right. like common sense type of stuff, right? But then again, after, I don't know if you saw that video with the brother that got shot in the store robbing it. His brother and sister were like, that wasn't right.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Well, when it comes to our people, it doesn't surprise me some of the stuff that comes out, right? We're simple as hell. Most High said it in Isaiah 1 and 3, too. So it says, for through that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half. And the same region is called Arsareth. And we already went over what Arsareth is, what it stands for, what that same region is, right? We already discussed that and broke that down. Come on.
Then dwelt they there until the latter time.
Until the last days. So meaning, and here's the biggest hole in all that stuff. How do you explain the abundance of our people on this side of the world? How come the truth's not in Asia if they went to Asia? How come it's not in Australia if they went to Australia? Y'all, if you buy that garbage, you're setting us back by thousands of years. It's not even 11 o'clock. It's like 6 p.m.
That's a cut.
Yeah, but because it's telling you that they will dwell there until the latter time. There's no mass awakening over there like you have over here. But I'm telling you, it's real simple to cut and break these guys down with their nonsense, right?
No, right, and that's why the scripture says that that it would roar from the land of the west
Right.
It would be the land of the north where people would be saved from.
Right. Listen, when you, if you're occupied in keeping the commandments, you'll be occupied in prophecies and dark sayings, and it makes perfect sense when you read this stuff. But then you want to go again because maybe some Mexicans robbed you. Maybe you got jumped, right? Maybe your love that you love more than anything was Hispanic and she broke your heart.
Right.
The hell with them. They ain't Israel, right? Whatever it is that your hatred guides you into that, all right? It says, and they dwelt there until the latter time, meaning the last days, and now when they shall begin to come. What? That restoration that it's talking about, the time of the restoration, meaning they're awakening again, right? Come on.
And now when they shall begin to come, the highest shall stay the springs of the stream again, that they may go through. Therefore sawest thou the multitude with peace.
And if you want to understand what he's explaining here, I mean, we just jumped to this quickly. You just have to jump over and read chapter 13 from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pair it with the vision and the parable that was seen, you'll see it there, right? And then when it talks about staying the springs of the stream again, it's about bringing all of the rest of Israel together. By and large, we are scattered, right? But most of us, where you see the 12 tribe sign, where the land broken down is, it goes into the curses of Deuteronomy 28:15-68, and how we wound up coming together again as a people in these last days. So, like I said, it's not that complicated when you look at it that way. It's actually pretty funny. You got anything you wanna add? I think I may save this other article for next week because we only got like a few minutes left. It went faster than I thought.
No, what you said was perfect. And then this truly is the simplicity that we have in Christ Jesus, that he does make it plain for us to be able to understand as long as you're just keeping the commandments. That's it. He gives you the blueprint of how to understand his writings, but we're the people, we're our own worst enemies.
Well, he tells you precept must be upon. It says must.
Right.
It says it must. You can't just go with one avenue of it.
I mean, if you just stay here from 40 to 45, they tell you whenever mankind dwells.
It's
and,
simple.
And it makes it very clear. Well,
common sense ain't that common for us, so.
Right.
That's how it rolls, right? I mean, and there's just so much evidence. You know, Captain Isaac and I always talk about it, and he brings it out. He goes, yo, it's so funny. It makes me laugh. He goes, because there's more archaeological, there's more written evidence that would validate, right, that the Spanish tribes, the native indigenous tribes are who the Bible says they are than they are for even Southern Kingdom. You know? Hey, and with the lingo that they're rolling with now, talking about transfers of human populations, I mean, we really have a hard job ahead of us. You know, our generation, at least they taught slavery in school and things like that. Now they like really pushing to change the whole aspect of that thing, man. It's crazy. You got something you want to
bring up? Yeah, I was going to bring up what the guy was talking about as well. He's saying how it's really simple when you read the scriptures and you understand history about people. And when you talk about how all we have to do is keep the laws, well, our people don't like change. But we know that according to Psalms 19:7, it says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So that converting, that changing is supposed to be the laws of God. If you really sincerely believe that our people should rise and be great, and we always been kings and gods on the earth, right? Then you should know that this Bible is our history book, and this is our heritage. So if you want that solution, and God's and the Bible is telling you God's laws are going to change you, what is the problem with that? Our people do not like change, and our people don't like God's laws because it puts them in a box.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that was this week's show. Don't celebrate Columbus Day. Most of us don't, but, you know, just so you get a little insight into it. And then next week, we'll touch on those artifacts from Puerto Rico, and because I don't want to rush through that. That needs this whole thing. And maybe I can even cue up the footage of the interview that we did and maybe play some of that or whatever during the show so we can talk about that and pair it with the article. So, that'll be the topic for next week. All right, that's the Power Hour, Lost 144K. Lord's will, we will be on next week again. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.